Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Are college campuses killing free speech? Okay, so that's a deliberately provocative question, but here's why we're asking. Because it does seem as if campuses are growing perhaps less tolerant of provocative speech.
So here are a couple of recent examples. The Argus, the student newspaper at Wesleyan University, recently published a controversial op-ed that questioned the tactics of the Black Lives Matter movement. The student writer also wondered if the movement should bear responsibility for attacks on police officers made in its name.
The backlash was quick. Later on, the newspaper's editorial team published a front-page apology for the harm the op-ed caused. And just this past weekend, the Wesleyan student government voted 27-0 to slash the newspaper's funding.
And earlier this month, something similar at Brown University. The Brown Daily Herald published an opinion column that argued Native Americans should be thankful for colonialism, and another that claimed white-skinned Eurasians were first to domesticate livestock, which supposedly made their society superior. Again, the backlash was swift, with groups across campus alleging that the newspaper had harmed Brown University.
So, is this the messy tumult that comes with healthy democratic discourse? Or are allegations of harm and calls to defund newspapers a sign of something else? A lack of tolerance, of openness, and acceptance of the true diversity of opinions that come on college campuses. What do you think? What do you see on your college campuses? Are we in an era of political correctness gone amok? Or is it free speech gone too far and becoming something else? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. We've got a great panel to talk about this with us today. Joining us from Hartford is Michael Roth. He's president of Wesleyan University. President Roth, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much.
Also with us is William Keach. He's professor of English at Brown University, and he joins us today in the Radio Boston studio. Professor Keach, welcome to you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So, Michael Roth, let me start with you and what happened at Wesleyan. This op-ed was published. There was a lot of an immediate and intense and passionate response to it. You yourself wrote a blog post that said, Black Lives Matter and so does free speech. So can you tell us how unusual was this back and forth over this one op-ed at Wesleyan?
Well, I write a lot of op-eds myself, and I, as an author of op-eds, I would kill for the opportunity to get that many readers that excited about an opinion I shared, especially one that I wanted to be provocative, as Brian Steskovich wanted his to be provocative. And so there was tumult, and there were accusations of racism, and then there were accusations of political correctness, and guess what? That's what happens when you have free speech. This, to me, is evidence actually of much more political diversity and freedom of the press and free speech than its opposite. And it's amazing to me that commentators who have much less diversity at their own publications or broadcast networks would dare accuse a college campus of having limitations on free speech when they have much less diversity in their own organizations.
But let me ask you, let me jump in. In your blog post, you wrote, as members of a university community, we always have the right to respond with our own opinions, but there is no right not to be offended. I mean, clearly something happened at Wesleyan that prompted you to use that specific language.
Yeah, I'm the president of the university, and I'm a professor there, and I wanted to remind people that accusations of speech creating an unsafe environment have to be used very carefully because they can be used against the very groups that employ them for their own perceived protection. So I did think that some of the accusations had become overwrought and overly emotional in some cases. But I think that, so I try to intervene like you would in a seminar and say, remind people of what most students at Wesleyan already know. And in fact, you know, I'm sorry to have to correct you, but there was no resolution to cut the funding of the newspaper. The newspaper's fundings have not been cut. there is this process where they're looking at various ways to have more money for different publications. And, you know, I have my own opinion on how they should do that. But this is something that students are working out in an intense debate. And I should say that the author of the op-ed has gone on to write several other pieces for different blogs and publications, which I think is a good thing for him. And I think that this is an example of free speech, an example of the diversity of opinion, not its opposite, because we haven't shut down any newspapers or defunded them.
Okay, but I take your point, but let me say that I'm looking here at how an article from the Wall Street Journal reported on the Student Assembly's vote on Sunday, and they said that the resolution the Student Assembly passed 27-0 calls for studying how funds are distributed among campus publications, as you said, and potentially taking funds from the Argus to provide paid positions from smaller campus publications. Whatever you want to call it, it does seem somewhat punitive to the Argus.
Well, it would be if, in fact, that's where they end up. And I myself hope they don't end up there. But I do think it's just symptomatic of, you know, the errors that you have when you have free speech, like the error you made when said it was defunded. And now using the Wall Street Journal, which, of course, is known for its tendentious reporting on college campuses, to create a story where I actually don't think there's much of a story. I do think on college campuses, many students today do use the rhetoric of I am made uncomfortable or I'm made unsafe by something I hear or something I read. And I think one of the functions we have for free speech is to actually help to correct that notion that you have to be comfortable all the time or that safety is the only value you have when you're in a conversation or in a learning environment. I mean, I do think there are things that that need improvement, and that's why college campuses are places for learning. But I actually don't think that this is free speech under duress. I think free speech is under duress in the national environment for politics. That has to do with money and corporations and not so much with college newspapers and publishing a right-wing editorial, which, again, I would have thought was a sign of free speech, not a sign of its opposite.
Well, let's turn to Professor William Keach here, who's, again, a professor at Brown University. Jump in here, Professor. I mean, can you give us a sense as to what happened at Brown? I mean, we have these two very controversial columns 2 days in a row from the Brown Daily Herald, a similar backlash on campus. Is that unusual at Brown, or do you see it as also a sign of a healthy political discourse on campus?
Much more the latter than the former. It's not unusual at Brown. There was a related case last year when Police Commissioner Kelly, from previous police commissioner from New York, came to speak about to defend his stop and frisk policy at Brown, and there was a strong disruptive student protest that caused him to stop speaking. In broad terms, I don't think free speech is under attack any more now than it ever was on college campuses. I think it's being more hotly debated, and that hot debate is a reflection of very serious political and social conflicts in the broader society, particularly around racism and anti-racist organizing and activism. So I would add that the two articles that appeared in the Brown Daily Herald seemed to me somewhat different from the one that appeared in the Wesleyan Argus, which I read. I disagreed with the article in the Wesleyan Argus because I'm a strong supporter of Black Lives Matter, and I disagreed with some of the positions about that movement put forward by the author. But in the cases of the articles that appeared in the Brown Daily Herald, one of them evoked actually eugenics in making the case. The one that was called White Privilege of Cows,
right,
evoked eugenics. The other one, as you, I think, appropriately said in your lead-in, made the argument that Native Americans should be grateful for Columbus Day and for the impact of Columbus and the conquistadores in this hemisphere.
Well, if I may jump in, I mean, the editors of the Brown Daily Herald said that the article that invoked eugenics, they've apologized for that one very specifically because they say it failed, and rightly so, all sorts of journalistic standards that the newspaper has. But I'm wondering if I could just turn to something that President Roth had alluded to a couple moments ago, and that is not so much the fact that these provocative, offensive, disturbing, fringe, whatever you want to call them, op-eds are appearing in student newspapers, but the tone of some of the response to them, that they create an unsafe environment or cause harm to the campus, to the university community. I mean, I'm wondering about that because, for example, there has been lots of discourse on at Brown about what happened in the Brown Daily Herald, and I'm looking at an op-ed from several Brown professors, including David Josephson and Glenn Lowry and Ken Miller, who say that any attempt to frame free expression with which that one disagrees with as harmful, or to claim that speech that some may find offensive should be censored, is a problem. So it's the question of, is it harming the campus?
Okay, 2 points. First of all, I responded to that letter by my five colleagues and disagreed with it because I think, in principle, the idea that acts of speech or acts of writing can't cause harm is wrong. I think they clearly can cause harm. There are all sorts of examples of it, and I think if you press most people, they will agree that threats, intimidation, forms of abuse can cause harm. So I thought it was important to clarify the issue around that principle so that we could have a better discussion of the articles under consideration and what to do about situations where the debate needed to be about, A, whether harm had been caused by these articles, in fact, or not, and B, if harm of some kind had been caused, what to do about it. And that leads into the question of censorship. I mean, censorship is the thing that's always brought up when people object to something that's been said or something that's been written in a strong and sometimes disruptive way. And I think there are many, many kinds of alternative issues and ways of responding, ways of acting, like disruptive protests that we need to be talking about.
Right. Well, let me turn back to President Michael Roth of Wesleyan University. I mean, I'm seeing that this is, again, from a student group at Brown who say that sometimes, articles published in the name of the free exchange of ideas ignore the repeated ways in which racist ideologies have resulted in real-life violence. So a very potent historical point there. But on the other hand, Michael Roth, I'm curious of whether or not you think that students these days perhaps are a little quick to throw up the "we have been harmed," "we have this isn't creating unsafe environments on college campuses." I mean, maybe there are times where that is true, but are they too quick to do it perhaps at other times?
Well, it's difficult to generalize about that. I mean, I think the border between harmful speech that becomes hate speech and disturbing speech is notoriously difficult to define, and I think in a college and university campus, we should do everything we can to not overly protect our students from speech that can make them uncomfortable. On the other hand, as Professor Keach said, there are clear speech acts that put people in danger and cause harm. And I don't think there's one formula you can use for determining that. And the Supreme Court has tried, and theorists have tried. And I think that, you know, free speech is a very important value on college campuses. It's just not the only value. So you have to also think about a community, its standards, and its ability to continue to function in an educative way. I think it's most likely to function in an educative way by protecting free speech. But there are some instances where a person or a group is targeted by speech and that group needs protection. I'm not going to say that students are too quick to play the safety card in general because I have students at Wesleyan every semester when I'm teaching who are willing to explore very difficult and challenging ideas that put their identities at risk, that put their histories at risk, and that they're open to controversies mm-hmm. around their own person and their groups that they love in ways that I wish their parents and my colleagues would be open. So I think that we're overblowing, as we often do. We say, oh, well, those kids today, they're not doing what we did when we were in college. But in fact, the vigorous debates on college campuses about many important issues show that free speech is still held as an important, if not the only important, but an important value on college campuses.
Well, we're talking about free speech on college campuses, and our guests today are Michael Roth. He is president of Wesleyan University, and William Keach. He is the professor, a professor of English at Brown University, who studied the intersection of language and politics very deeply. And gentlemen, if I can, I want to bring in one more voice briefly into this conversation. He's Harvey Silverglate. He joins us today from Cambridge. He's a defense attorney and civil liberties activist, I should say, and he's author of The Shadow University, The Betrayal of Liberty on America's Campuses. Harvey Silverglate, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be back.
What's your reaction to what you're hearing so far?
Well, I think that President Roth has it right, except for one thing, which I'll get to in a moment. His statement was very good, very affirmative. I disagree with him that there's no speech problem on his campus and other campuses. In fact, if left to their own devices, I think an awful lot of students would quiet the opposition voices if they had the power to do so. I do think it's a volatile and dangerous situation for academic freedom. Fortunately, President Roth immediately made clear where he stands, and I think that will save the day. But if you have a weak statement such as President Paxton at Brown issued, there's just trouble brewing.
Well, I mean, President Paxton at Brown said, like any human institution, a university is a reflection of the individuals who created it, who have sustained it, and who would steward it today. And such entities make mistakes, enable privilege, and sustain structural inequity through racism and sexism. What's weak about that?
The problem is that President Paxton did not come out unequivocally for the right of free speech and academic freedom without limitation for ideological reasons. And that was the fatal flaw. I think that the campus is going to suffer mightily because the president did not come out foursquare, as President Roth did, in favor of academic freedom. Freedom is very fragile. You only need one little chink in the fence, and it gets overwhelmed.
I'm going to get a response from our other two guests in just a moment. But Harvey, I am curious what you think about something else that President Roth said, that he implies that it's no different today than it was before, and that, you know, we here, long out of being undergraduates ourselves, are just saying, shaking our heads and saying, kids these days, whereas the debate isn't really any different than it was.
It is quite different. Because during the Vietnam War, for example, when I was in college and law school, the free speech movement was really born and nourished and strengthened. And what has happened since the mid-1980s is there's a new wave that is taking over. And that's the wave of the students and some of their professors who believe that they're entitled to comfort rather than intellectual discomfort on campus. That's a huge difference. That's a sea change. And the fact is, campuses are not supposed to be places where you feel comfortable. They're places where you're supposed to feel challenged. And students seem to be rebelling against this old principle, academic freedom and campus atmosphere. You're supposed to be uncomfortable while you're in college, not comfortable.
Well, I do
it's
want
really revisionist history. I hate to disagree with someone who just agreed with me, but you know, the free speech movement was born, but gosh, it was completely contentious. Not everybody agreed with the free speech movement. People had fought for that, and people are fighting for free speech now. And there were people who didn't think that was so great. There were people who didn't think the demonstrations were so great, or that you should be able to burn an American flag. So here we are talking about debates on college campuses about college newspapers and how offensive they can be, when in the political sphere, you know, fewer than 200 families provide half the money for people going to the White House, controlling the media representation of political views. And we're talking about whether at Wesleyan University the backlash against an opinion piece was too strong.
Well,
it seems like we're focused on the wrong prize.
Well, I don't think it's wrong, but President, I think that you have to understand, for example, there's a disinvitation crusade going on campuses all over the country. Controversial speakers have had invitations to speak rescinded.
I know.
Because of student protests. Now, some campuses are better and some are worse. The campuses that are better are campuses where the leadership has had the fortitude to resist these calls for what is really censorship.
President Roth, if I may just throw in my two cents here about this. I mean, I take your point about the power of money in political discourse outside of American campuses today. But if we do maintain our focus on campus, and I, you know, full disclosure, obviously I am coming to this conversation as a journalist myself. I am slightly taken aback when students at Wesleyan demanded that an apology be put on the front page of the Argus for an op-ed. I mean, it's an opinion piece. Why should the paper be asked to apologize for presenting a diversity of opinion?
But you please recognize that several hundred, if not 2,000, Wesleyan students said the same thing that you just said, and so there is a debate. It's vigorous, and of course it could result in censorship. That would be a terrible thing. But the debate, I think, will actually result in people recognizing the value of debate. And yes, I think the leadership of the institution and the faculty of the institution have to stand up and remind people that the principles of free exchange of ideas is the backbone of education, of liberal education, of any kind of learning environment. And we've done that. But many students at the university express just the view you did. And I think that it is scary to see some people having a different point of view, right? Some people say, no, we should defund the newspaper. That's a different point of view. They get to speak, too.
May I just jump in here?
Yes, please. Professor Keish, go ahead.
I think Harvey Silverglate is absolutely wrong in what he said about President Paxson's statement. I often disagree with the Brown administration, but in this case, I thought, as far as that particular sentence that he quoted is concerned, she was absolutely right. And it's not a question of people, of students, or people in the Brown community not wanting to be made uncomfortable or made uneasy about something someone says that they disagree with. It's about the view that some invoking eugenics, invoking a pseudoscience of racial superiority, is something that has real practical consequences in people's lives, especially the lives of students of color, of members of a community of color. And to treat that as merely a question of people not wanting to be made intellectually uneasy, I think, is to trivialize what's really at issue here.
Harvey, you want to respond?
Well, you know, this all started really about with an essay written called Words That Wound. And the idea that words wound is really at the heart of the problem. And we've just heard that, an example of that, that speaking about eugenics is going to hurt people. It's not going to hurt people. It's going to make them uncomfortable. There is no right to be protected against being uncomfortable when you're getting an undergraduate education.
Response, please.
Well, go ahead, Professor.
Speaking about eugenics makes a kind of connection with actual groups of people. There are many such groups in this country now and elsewhere around the world who don't just talk about eugenics or racial superiority. They practice it, often in violent and destructive ways that harm people's lives. And to make this a question simply of words that have no connection with often organized and dangerously active practices elsewhere in the society seems to me that's the thing that trivializes the issue that we're debating.
May I respond? At Brown today, nobody is practicing eugenics. They're talking about it. Words do not really wound.
Well, fortunately, people on the Brown campus have a sense of being part of a larger community and a larger society where there are people who do engage in just the kind of practices you say, I hope you're right, don't exist at Brown itself.
Well, we have just 1 minute to go here, so I want to actually give the last word today to President Michael Roth of Wesleyan University, because this is a potent conversation, and as I keep hearing you say repeatedly, you believe it's a measure of the health of political discourse and free speech on campuses. But can you tell us what do you take as your responsibility or an administration's responsibility on any college campus in order to be sure that opinions and speech of almost all variety are protected on campus?
I think my responsibility is to help all groups have access to fora where they can express their views and meet with debate or meet with agreement. And I have a special responsibility for groups that are marginalized. And on our campus, that could be conservative students, but it could also be students who've been historically marginalized in our country. But my job is to give them access to tools for communication so that can be thoughtful conversation which can lead to more learning.
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to quote from your own blog post where you say, debates raise intense emotions, but that doesn't mean we should demand ideological conformity. Michael Roth, he is president of Wesleyan University, joining us today from Hartford, Connecticut. Real pleasure to speak with you, President Roth. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And William Keach, professor of English at Brown University. Thank you so much for coming into the studio and speaking with us. And Harvey Silverglate, author of The Shadow University, The Betrayal of Liberty on America's Campuses. Harvey, always great to have you. Thank you so much.
It's been interesting.
Listeners, continue this conversation on our website at radioboston.org. Stay with us. There's more of the show coming up in just a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.